We won't see you till November. Okay, take care. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, new envelopes start next week.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship today. It's been good to have been with you for these three Sundays, and I look forward to a rest in August. The Bible says God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for God seeks such to worship him. So let us worship God now. The hymn 336, The Lord is King. Bible says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Let us pray. Almighty and all-loving God, we come in awe and in reverence to praise your holy name, to proclaim your greatness, to acknowledge your power, to recognize your sovereignty, and to declare your goodness. With grateful hearts we come to worship you, for your love ever surrounds us, and for your blessings in our daily lives. But we come also in sorrow and in shame to confess our unworthiness to receive your goodness, confessing that we have not always loved you or other people as we ought to have done, that we have broken your commandments day by day. And so we ask simply, forgive us. We come with sorrow and yet with assurance. Assurance that your life for us, a love that frees us to live as we have to live, a love which knows no bounds, a love that stretches even to eternity. Come, Lord, enter the souls of your people gathered here today and grant us your love and your peace. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we sum up all our prayers in Jesus' own words as he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. Boys and girls, it's nice to see at least a few of you here. I hope that once the summer comes, you'll manage to invite all your friends to come to church as well. It's been good for me to be here and to have seen you at this time. And I've always enjoyed coming to Saltcoats North. I'm very grateful to Mr. Noble for using me this way, and grateful for you as a congregation for receiving me. I'm particularly grateful to the folks who have helped me as I come here on a Sunday, our organists, and particularly our choir. I have to say this because, you know, there's so many churches don't have choirs now, and it's great to be a choir leading the singing. I always think the singing is so much better when the choir is there helping us as we sing. So it's nice to have you all here today. This is the 28th of July. Next Sunday is the 4th of August. I wonder if you can tell me what is special about the 4th of August. Probably not. It's not that Mr. Merle will be back, that's one special thing. But no, I thought the boys might know this better than the women folks. But it's the start of the football season. And next Saturday, most of the games are played, but next Sunday, Rangers are playing Kilmarnock. Now, I think you know who I support. When I was a wee boy, when I was about 7, I stayed quite near Ibrox Park. And in these days, when you were a wee boy, you could go along to Ibrox Park, and you would wait to see a man going in the turnstile, and you would say to him, Mister, can you lift me over it? And that way you got into the park and you didn't have to pay. That was the great thing about it. And I was a wee boy at one time, and that's what I used to do. Therefore, I've always enjoyed my football, well, most of the times at Ibrox. Sometimes it's not so good these days, but it's getting better, and we are getting better. But you know, I always think it's so important that when you look at a football team, there are 11 players, and everyone has to pull their weight. I was reading Stephen Gerrard, the new manager of Rangers, was saying the last game they played, they scored 2 goals, and then they sat back. And they could have scored 10 goals, but they didn't bother. And he was very angry with them because They just stopped doing things. And he was annoyed with them because they were not helping each other. And I think this is so like the church. I think a football team, in a sense, is like the church. Everybody needs to be pulling their weight. Now, people work all sorts of things. The minister, of course, is there. The elders are there. The organist is there. The choir master is there. Harry's there with the screen. And all sorts of people are doing things quite quietly, but they're getting on with the job. And it's so important that they do their work. And in a football team, it's exactly the same. Whether it's the goalkeeper or the centre forward, it's important that they are all trying their best. And some boys and girls say to me, but we can't do anything. But you can. You can be here. And you know, it's terribly important that while the big folks come to church, it's even more important for the future that boys and girls come, that boys and girls realize what the church is, to meet with other people who want to worship God. And I think that's so important. And that way, we not only win the league, but we'll win God's blessing for the future. And now we're going to sing a children's hymn. It was not really a children's hymn, but it's telling you what the church is. 427. The church is wherever God's people are praising. Now let's hear the word of God. We find it, first of all, in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, and reading, first of all, at verse 1. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came with myriads of holy ones from the south, from his mountain slopes. Surely it is you who love the people. All the holy ones are in your hand. At your feet they all bow down, and from you receive instructions, the law that Moses gave us, the possession of the assembly of Jacob. He was king over Jeshurun when the leaders of the people assembled, along with the tribes of Israel." And also in that same passage, at verse 26, which is the next one, "There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, 'Destroy him.' So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places. And also from the New Testament, from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and reading at verse 3. This part is entitled, Encouragement to be Faithful. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, fathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed. I am convinced he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. May God bless to us that reading from his holy word. And to his name be all the glory and praise. Let's again praise God, the hymn 536. There is a land of pure delight. name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to turn your attention to two texts really today. First of all, Israel, how happy you are. There is no one like you, a people saved by the Lord. The second one, God has appointed me an apostle and teacher to proclaim the good news. It is for that reason that I suffer many things, but I am still full of confidence, because I know whom I have trusted, and I'm confident and sure he is able to keep me safe until that day what he has entrusted in me. You know, when you get to my age, you'll find, as I'm sure some of you do or will find, that you reminisce a great deal. Do you remember this? Do you remember that? Do you remember when such and such happened? I had an email from Reverend Stephen Smith, who used to be minister of Clark Memorial Church and moved to Kilbarkin. And he was saying in the email, he said, it's amazing the time passes, because he was visiting a home, a hospital, and in the next bed, a lady said to him that she had come from Greenock originally, and he found out that I had married them 52 years ago. Time certainly passes. I suppose it's true what a doctor friend of mine once said, that we were visiting him. I think I've quoted this before, talking about age, and he reminisced. He said, you know, this is what it'll be like when we go into an old folks home. We'll sit round, we'll sit in chairs, and we'll remember this. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? You're not old enough to remember that. And so it would go on. But recently, the last time we had a service of baptism in Clark Memorial Church, we were worshipping there, and I was remembering how one day I had three baptisms on one Sunday. Or at least it was two baptisms and a blessing. The baptism was a little baby as normal, the two baptisms. But the blessing was a little four-year-old boy, the brother. The two baptisms were quite normal, two small baby twins, but the little boy was four. I had been called some years before that to the sick children's hospital, and I found that the baby was dying, but they wanted him baptized. And we did so. We had a service, and somehow the child survived, and of course could not be rebaptized according to the teachings and rules of the church. So here he was, two babies being baptized, and this little lad of four standing to be blessed. And as we met in the vestry that Sunday morning, there was this four-year-old laddie, a sturdy wee boy, and seemed so wonderful that he had been so near to death, but doctors had worked so well in bringing him to life. There he stood, immaculately dressed, long trousers, a white shirt, a velvet waistcoat. I commented, it was a picture of a perfect wee gentleman. And I'm sure he wasn't, but I looked and said to him, my, you do look smart. You do look handsome. I don't know what he expected him to answer, but all he said, yes, don't I? The innocence of youth, or perhaps the confidence of youth. Children can be so forward-looking in their comments. I also remember when one of my grandchildren was 6 years of age in the primary school at Kilmacombe Christmas show. She was representing being a star in the chorus line. And she had a star on a stick. She was a star. But she knew better. And she commented to me that she was the star of the pantomime. She wasn't a star, she was the star, and she was proud of that fact. I suppose that what we call in Scotland having a good conceit of yourself. And in sporting circles, we have the same situation. As I say, it depends on what team you support, though some of us these days have more difficulty than others. But just wait to this year. The old saying, here's to us, was like us. It's the same idea. Here's to us, was like us. Or as the bit goes on, it says, no money and there mostly did. That's the end of that. But it seems to me that this is the feeling that runs right throughout the Bible. Here's to us, was like us. Our first text simply said, Israel, there's nobody like you, a people saved by the Lord. And then in Paul's letter to Timothy, a letter which shows and speaks of the great faith which we profess to follow and accept. Despite his suffering, he says, I am full of confidence because I know in whom I believe. I have trusted in him, and I'm sure he will be able to keep me safe until that day. One verse says of the religious people, there's no one like you. And the other says, I am full of confidence. That to me is the Bible's conception of having a good conceit of yourself. And it seems to me that's the very feeling that we as Christians ought to have about our Christian faith. I believe for too long we've undermined our conceit of ourselves. For too long we've been apologetic in the world outside. We're almost apologizing for admitting that we go to church for worship, that we try to live in a Christian way. Why should we apologize? Why should we apologize for the greatest way of life given to humankind, the only way of life that is going to bring this world back to its senses in time to come? And instead of almost apologizing, we should be showing to the world why we are suggesting we are the greatest way for human life, by living, by serving, by showing that Christ is dominant in our lives. For example, confident in prayer. I wonder how many of us say our prayers with confidence. Indeed, I sometimes wonder if prayer has become for us Christians the time when we are led in a prayer by a minister. But that's not prayer. We so often seem to say our personal prayers as if we do say them at all with some trepidation, wondering and even doubting if they will be answered. The powerhouse of the Christian church, prayer. The strength of the Christian church, prayer. And sometimes we wonder if it works. I'm not meaning that we don't get an answer to our prayers, but we do, unfortunately, we try to tend to assume the answer to our prayers will be what we have prayed for, and we not what God is giving us. And sometimes the two things can be miles apart. In illness and in pain, help us, Lord, help us. But you know, sometimes even in illness and pain, God is using us to show to others what faith really means. Prayer is not an emergency for a time of trouble. Prayer is a constant meeting with God and a talk with God, if you like, a listening to God in all that we say and do. And we ought to be so confident in our prayers, not always expecting the answer we want, but what is best for us in the long run. We have a neighbour across the road from us in Largs who's dying. She's up in hospital at the moment. Her only daughter is home from Spain, where she lives, and she is looking after her mum as best she can. And I was speaking to her just yesterday, and I said, would your mum like me? She's not a member of the church. She doesn't believe in the church. Would your mum like me to visit her? She said she doesn't want anybody to see her in the state she's in. And I said, well, we are praying for her. Her name is on our prayer list in Clark Memorial Church, and we are praying for her. And she said, I know she will appreciate that, but she doesn't believe. And yet she believed that perhaps her prayers, not that her prayers would make her better. There is no betterness for her. But her prayers are that she will be able to accept the future, whatever that future may be. Now, what about confidence in worship? I spoke a little about this last week, but why do we come to worship week by week? Of course, it's a gathering of folks we know, people of like mind. But although sometimes we do disagree in things, but on the whole, we meet with our friends, we meet with our colleagues to worship. But to me, that is the special phrase, to worship, not just to meet together. In other words, to meet with God. And worship, you know, can be such a habit-forming thing. And while most of us see it as something good and worthwhile, but how many of us forget that our principal reason is, as I said last week, to meet with God here. How confident are you that God is at your side at this moment? Well, for a start, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there. And he always keeps his promise. And I believe it's why it's important when we come here into a building or a grouping for worship that we remember how near he really is. And if we believe that he is here, we should remember the great Christian missionary Carey, who said, in God's presence, ask great things of God, and expect great things of God. We are here to ask. We are here to listen. We are here to obey. And if and when we do that, worship is meaningful, and we are showing that attitude of here stays, who's like us. And what about the witness and the service within the church congregations and out with in our daily lives? Now here's the challenge, to live as Christians in the world of today. And I wonder sometimes that while we might worship regularly and even show our faith means something to us out with the church, and so often we seldom show the world that we are Christian. Jesus taught about hiding your light under a bushel. Instead of that, he's saying, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, that great chorus. Hiding or not attempting to show ourselves as that goody-goody kind of Christian, that's not Christian. It's honestly anti-Christian, for it shows our weakness and our failing. And there are so many ways that we can show our faith to other people, our attitude to others, our beliefs, which are obvious in the way that we live and relate to others. But perhaps one of the best ways of showing our faith is in time, even of death, either for ourselves or our loved ones. From our own personal point of view, could I ask, are you afraid of death? I would suggest most folk are not afraid to die for themselves. We may fear how we die and do so obviously for what we are leaving behind. But I think most folk don't fear death itself. As a minister of 60 years now, since my ordination, I've had to deal with so many folks in time of death. And it's been a wonderful privilege, you know, to be with folks who are dying and who know that they're dying. But it seems to me that they're not concerned about that fact, but to make sure those who are left are well catered for. If they're truly Christian, they will talk often about it. I often hear people speak of the Roman Catholic clergy in confession and how the clergy are committed to silence on these matters. Well, I can assure you that in our own denomination, it's exactly the same. How many people, when they know they are dying, speak to their minister, and sometimes, yes, tell us things that are quite sacrosanct to them, never to be released. And as a minister, I find that all ministers do have a sense of pride that they feel people can open up to them in this way. And in speaking of the nearness of death, I find very humbly that they do speak of eternal life as a basis of their belief. They're confident that death is only a gateway to an eternal life to come. And even there, and especially there, they believe in our Christian faith. The message is there. Here's tears. Was like us. Or as Paul says, I am full of confidence. My friends, in these days in which we live, there are many difficulties, there are many problems to face as nations, as individuals. But if the message of Christ is to mean anything at all to us, these are the things we must show to others around us, and indeed tell others around us of our belief. Let them see in our lives are lived in a message of hope, of confidence, that through prayer, through worship, through Christian witness, and in time to come, sooner or later, is not given us to know, we will rejoice in a life of eternity. That should be our conviction in living today, and showing that conviction by our lives. As Christians, let's show to the world our faith by living in such a way that we can truly say, here's tears, was like us. All true Christians are like that. Let us pray. Lord God, guide and direct us from this day forward to seek to show to the world whose we are and whom we seek to serve. May our confidence ever show our Christian living, and may we be the means of building up a faith in others by our example. Hear this, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let us worship God with our offering. And now our offering prayer, let us pray. In token of our love for you, O God, we offer these gifts, and we ask you to use the gifts and ourselves in your service. May we show your Spirit goes with us in everything we do, as we remember that we are your children seeking to serve you, knowing that our way of life is the greatest way in the world. Help us to show this in our giving, in our loving, in our serving. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's again praise God in hymn 445, Make Me a Captive Lord. Now let us offer our prayers of intercession as we remember the needs of many. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come again to you in prayer, to communicate with you, to seek your listening ear. We thank you for all your gifts, material and spiritual, for your love that enables us to be assured that you are here. You will answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, we praise you for your Son, our Savior, his life, his teaching, his death, which showed us the way to eternal life. And as we come now, we offer prayers for others, as Jesus taught we should always do. We pray for this world of ours, destroyed by hatred and evil, where man's inhumanity to man makes countless thousands suffer. We pray.
Distance on the distance.
Send us now into the world, knowing that as Christians was like us, and help us to show our belief by living as Christ taught us to live. And may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, with all whom you love, and with all God's children everywhere, now and forevermore.